the book of Malachi, and we're going to read verses 16 to 18. The book of Malachi, verses 16 to 18. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. You will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. I think it's fair to say that those who preach and teach are always looking for a response. Not the response of praise, but the response of a commitment to do the will of the Lord. The apostles were always looking for a response, weren't they, in their ministries. They preached the gospel and they looked to their hearers, longing that they might exercise repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the prophet Malachi, who ministered 400 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus into this world, looked for a response on the part of those to whom he ministered. Tonight we're going to look at the response to Malachi's ministry and what God had to say about those who responded positively to it. But before we get into these verses, I think it might be worthwhile doing something of a recap on what Malachi has said to the people. As you know, Malachi found himself ministering to a people that had lost touch with the living God, a people who had fallen on pretty miserable times, really, as far as their spiritual lives were concerned. Well, their condition was manifesting itself in a number of ways. One, that they were questioning God's love for them. We see that in chapter 1 and verse 2. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you ask, how have you loved us? Two, they were offering blind, lame, and diseased animals on the altar of the Lord. We see that again in chapter 1, this time in verses 6 to 8. Let me pick it up halfway through verse 6. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Three, they were intermarrying. That is, the men were marrying women from foreign nations who worshipped other gods. We see that in chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. Four, they were committing adultery and divorcing the wives of their youth. We see that again in chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. Five, they were accusing God of being unjust because he seemed to allow the wicked to prosper. Chapter 2, verse 17, if I've got these verses right. Six, they were robbing God in their tithes and offerings. Chapter 3, verses 6 to 12. And seven, they were arguing that it was futile to serve God because they gained nothing by doing so. Chapter 3, verse 14. And so what we have seen is Malachi pointing out their failures before God, left, right, and center, in order that they might repent of their sin before God, find forgiveness with God, and begin to do what was right to the glory of God. Now, in verse 16 of chapter 3, we see the response to the ministry of Malachi. Verse 16, "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name." And isn't this wonderful? It must have been so encouraging for the prophet Malachi. Of course, it wasn't a positive response on the part of all the people, but it was a response on the part of some of the people, those who are said to have feared the Lord, that is, reverenced the Lord, and expressed a concern to do what was right before him. What should we call these people who feared the Lord? Shall we call them the remnant? It's interesting that the NIV provides a little title to this section entitled "The Faithful Remnant." But we might also refer to them as the circumcised in heart, or perhaps the true children of Abraham, or maybe the Israel within Israel. But here were a group of people, I don't know how big the group was, that took on board the message of the prophet Malachi and resolved to honor God's name by putting things right. Interestingly, in verse 16, it says that those who feared the Lord talked with each other. I wonder why they talked to one another. I suspect it was so they might encourage one another in the things of God. And resolve, perhaps, how exactly they could put things right. I wonder whether it was done in an informal way or whether it was done in a formal way. I don't really know. It may have been done in a more informal way, perhaps a little bit like what we might do after a morning sermon with coffee or tea in hand in the back hall. We talk about what's been said and we discuss what needs to be put right in our lives before the Lord. Or perhaps it was done in a more formal way. A little bit like perhaps we would do in a midweek house group, or maybe even at a church meeting. I know we tend to talk about nuts and bolts when we have our church members meetings, but you know, there's no reason why our church members meetings shouldn't include times of corporate confession and discussion regarding the things that we feel as a church or as individuals that we need to put right before the Lord. Secondly, we see the response of God to those who positively responded to his servant Malachi's word. In verse 16, we see, don't we, that there was a scroll of remembrance that was written in his, that is, God's presence. And it concerned those who feared the Lord and honored his name. As I was preparing, I thought to myself, what was this scroll written on earth, or was it written in heaven? And I'm not 100% sure, but all the commentators I read this week wanted to argue that it was a scroll that was written in heaven. And perhaps that's more likely. You will see from verse 17... that those whose names were written on this scroll were described as God's treasured possession, which of course is another way of God speaking about those who belong to him. If you like, those who are his family. Not only this, you will see from verse 17 that God says that he will spare those whose names are written on this scroll on the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. That is, on the day when he makes a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. And as I was preparing for this evening, I couldn't help but think of the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 25. I'm sure these words will be familiar to you. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from the other as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. How important it was then to be someone in Malachi's day who feared the Lord and thus had their name written on this scroll of remembrance. Of course, the idea of God having special books in heaven upon which people's names are written is found elsewhere in the Bible. Perhaps as I speak, you're immediately thinking of the Lamb's Book of Life, which is spoken about in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. There we read that only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will enter into the new Jerusalem. How important it is then to have one's name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whose names will be found in the Lamb's Book of Life at the end of time? Well, we know the answer, don't we, to that question. Those who in this life have feared the Lord and have put their trust in Jesus Christ and in him alone for salvation. I've mentioned over this weekend that earlier on this week, a very well-known American pastor, author, apologist, and leader died and went to be with the Lord. His name, of course, was Tim Keller. But apparently, shortly before he died, he expressed to family and close friends and colleagues that what really mattered, was not all the things that he had done for the Lord and his people throughout his lifetime, but that his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it seems that he had been meditating upon Jesus' words in Luke chapter 10. This is what we read. The 72 returned with joy. Remember, Jesus sent out the 72 to preach, to minister. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." And he replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." You know, at the end of the day, that's all that really matters, isn't it? That our names are written in heaven, or that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Tomorrow, I hope you won't mind me mentioning it, Keith is going to be speaking at his brother's funeral. But just before the service this evening, he said, "You know, the most wonderful thing to know is that my brother's name was written
in the Lamb's book of life. That's the only thing that really matters. And that, of course, is what brings comfort to Keith and other members of the family. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Well, let's pray, and then we'll sing. Lord, we do thank you that your word in Malachi's day fell on good soil. There were those who feared the Lord and talked about what the prophet had said and seemingly sought to put what was right in order that they might honour the Lord. Lord, we pray that in our day we might be those who fear the Lord and seek by your grace to do what is right before you. We know we fail you. Of course we do. We don't get it right, and we're not expecting to be sinless this side of heaven. We know that if we claim to be without sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Nevertheless, our desire, O Lord, is to be a people who love you sincerely and seek to do your will with the help and the strength that you grant to us. Lord, it seems that it was really important that these people's names were written in this scroll of remembrance. And Lord, it's so important that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Lord, we believe that our names are written there. Of course, we haven't got access to the book. We can't see the names of those who are written there. Such a book is one that is in your hands, and only you know the true condition of men's hearts. But we do love you, and we are trusting in the Lord Jesus for our salvation, and therefore we feel a sense of confidence or assurance that our names are indeed written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And may this be what is really important to us. And we pray that many others who we know and love might have an assurance that their names too are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hear our prayer, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, shall we, and sing again. It's number 557 in the Praise Hymn book, so the words will appear on the screen in front. Lord, I have made your word my choice. Number 557, and we'll stand to sing.